from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo recommends opening of oil palm and coffee facilities. Indonesia is committed to keep sustainable palm oil industry. Indonesia-Malaysia border markers deemed necessary for fishermen. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has recommended formal education of oil palm and coffee at Indonesian universities. As quoted by Antara News Agency, President Jokowi at the Lamongan Muhammadiyah Institute of Health Science in East Java on Monday said that Indonesia is a big country in commodities such as palm oil, but Indonesia has no oil palm faculty. Indonesia is also big in coffee production, but Indonesia has no coffee faculty. President Joko Widodo made the statement when officially inaugurating the Ki Bagus Hadikusumo Campus Mosque and the groundbreaking for the construction of the Tower of Muhammadiyah University at the Stikes Campus. Indonesia, with 14 million hectares of oil palm plantations, is the world's largest producer of palm oil, and the country ranks among the world's largest coffee producers. Indonesia is the second largest producer of Robusta coffee after Vietnam. President Joko Widodo recommended the opening of a faculty specially studying the process of production and marketing of coffee. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, through Board of Analyzing and Developing Policy, held regular course of palm oil 2018 on November 19 to 26, 2018 in Bogor, West Java, and Jambi. The course is followed by 15 participants from 11 countries, namely Australia, Netherlands, Czech, Hungary, England, Italy, France, Poland, Russia, Slovakia, and Spain. Vice Minister of Indonesian Foreign Affairs, A.M. Fahir, while giving press statement to VOIRI in Jakarta on Monday, said that the regular course of palm oil 2018 is one of efforts of Indonesian government given to foreigners to explain it to the international world about Indonesia's commitment in keeping environment from palm oil industry that tens of millions people depends on it.
Dan ini upaya kita untuk menjelaskan apa yang sudah kita lakukan.
This is our effort to explain what we have done, including our commitment on the sustainability of palm oil industry, and we try to combine it with sustainable development goals. This is related to environmental problems while In another side, it is related to the life of millions of people. According to data, there are 5.5 million people directly connected, while 21 million people are in direct connection. Moreover, Aim Fahir also explained that 43% from all Indonesian palm oil fields are organized by millions of farmers. However, there are several challenges faced by Indonesian government about palm oil issue that becomes attention of European countries, such as deforestation, carbon and water issues, as well as loss of biodiversity due to land clearing of palm oil plantation. Therefore, Indonesian government invited 10 European countries from 11 participant countries to join the regular course of palm oil 2018. Aim Fahir said, Indonesia is the biggest palm oil producer country in the world, since it is able to contribute 53% of the world palm oil needs. North Sumatra Indonesian Fishermen Association, or HNSI, urged the government to decide the border of established border markers between Indonesia and Malaysia to prevent border incursions by Indonesian fishermen and repeated arrests by Malaysian authorities. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Nazli of HNSI Medan on Monday said that fishermen from North Sumatra were so far trapped and trespassed into the waters of the neighboring country as they were unaware of the border. Nazli emphasized that in addition, their fishing boats were not equipped with a radar to locate the border markers between Indonesia and Malaysia. The government, through the Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs, can establish clear boundaries between Indonesia and Malaysia. Nazli highlighted the need for boundary markers to prevent Indonesian fishermen from unknowingly committing violations in the middle of the sea. Indonesia, a member of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, is superior in terms of the development of vaccine technology. As quoted by Antara News Agency, head of the Food and Drug Supervision Agency, BPOM, Penny Lukito, at a press conference in Jakarta on Monday said that the BPOM is tasked with sharing its vaccine technology with other countries, particularly the OIC members. She noted that OIC countries had made varied advancements in vaccine technology. Some of them had made moderate technological advancements in vaccine development, while some others were still lagging behind. She noted that this is for South-South cooperation, so that it will have a wider access to less fortunate countries. Penny Lukito said the event was strategic for Indonesia, as it was also part of interstate diplomacy in the OIC environment. Indonesia is also a pilot in vaccine management, including from the regulatory elements of the Food and Drug Regulator. She pointed out that some OIC countries are interested in being able to increase their capacity to a higher level and also aim to become exporters, such as Kazakhstan and Jordan. Coordinating Minister for Economy Darmin Nasution denies allegation that the government is allowing foreign investment to operate in areas appropriated for micro, small and medium-scale enterprises, or SMEs, and cooperatives. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Minister Darmin on Monday said that it is not true that the small business sector is open to foreign investment. The investment negative list, DNI 2018, DNI is a list of business areas closed to foreign investment and new investment. The protests and allegation came on wrong perception over four business areas which are appropriated for small and medium-scale enterprises and cooperatives under the DNI of 2016. The four business areas include tuber, peeling and cleaning industry, clothes printing industry, knitting industry, particularly embroidery and internet service outlets. Darmin also said it is impossible that foreign investment would operate in tuber, peeling and cleaning industry and internet service outlets as a foreign investment company is required to start business with a capital of at least 10 billion rupiah. Meanwhile, Secretary of the Coordinating Ministry for Economy, Susi Wijono, said the four business areas are no longer included in the list of business areas close to foreign investment, but it doesn't mean that they are no longer appropriated for SMEs and cooperatives. Minister of Manpower M. Hanif Dakhiri stated that ineffective dual investment must be avoided in creating graduates to become skilled labor. Therefore, Minister Hanif said education must be oriented to the needs of the labor market or be demand-driven to reduce the mismatch between the needs of the industrial world and skilled workers in Indonesia. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Minister of Manpower M. Hanif Dakhiri at the Industrial Relations Competency Seminar for Polytechnic Graduates in the Era of Industrial Revolution 4.0 Jakarta on Monday said that a total change is needed in Indonesia education system so that the orientation is demand-driven. Minister Hanif Dakhiri also stated that the mismatch was quite large at around 63%, meaning that out of 10 people, the qualifications of only 3 to 4 people match with the needs of the business world. Merak Port in the western tip of Java and Bakauheni Harbor in the eastern edge of Sumatra are the busiest ferry harbors that connect the two Indonesian major islands. Being the busiest sea crossing land in the Sunda Strait, the Merak Bakauheni routes have so far been served by at least 52 ferries of various size. However, the government has set a size standard for ships that could be deployed to serve passengers willing to cross the Sunda Strait from Sumatra to Java or the vice versa. The government, through Transportation Ministerial Decree No. PM88 of 2014, has stipulated that starting from December 24, 2018, each ferry to be operated on the Merak Bakauheni route should be less than 5,000 gross tonnage in size. Antara News Agency on Monday stated that Directorate General of Land Transportation of the Ministry of Transportation has pointed out that the authorities will move 9 of the 52 ferries usually serving the Merak Bakauheni port to other ferry ports. The 9 ferries are less than 5,000 gross tonnage in size. That's news read by Ahmad Faisal. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with commentary for today entitled "The 16th Economic Policy Package Needs Central and Regional Coordination." The government has just launched the 16th Economic Policy Package on relaxation of policies for economic resilience. In this package, there are 3 points that are renewed, namely expansion of facilities for reducing corporate income tax or tax holiday, relaxation of negative investment list or DNI, and optimizing utilization of export proceeds. Of the 16 sectors, there are now 18 industrial sectors that get tax incentives. What's special about this policy package? Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Darmin Nasution, in his announcement at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta last Friday, November 16, explained that the policy is interconnected. He added that this policy is also connected with the online single submission system. With this system, once investors meet the criteria, they can immediately get incentives. The main objective of the policy is to improve current account deficit, or CAD. 2 weeks ago, Bank Indonesia, or BI, announced that CAD in the third quarter of 2018 had increased, namely $8.8 billion, equivalent to 3.37% of gross domestic product, GDP. This value is higher than the first quarter period, which reached $5.7 billion. Minister Darmin Nasution believed that the CAD will not exceed 3% after the adoption of this new policy package. Minister Darmin perceived that the 16th economic policy package is medium and long term. However, there are short-term elements to strengthen the self-confidence of fund owners. He acknowledged that the problem of the current transaction deficit could not be completed in 1 to 2 quarters. For decades, the current transaction deficit was indeed a deficit. Business people welcomed the new economic policy package. Chairman of the Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Ruslan Perkasa Ruslani, said that the government is regarded appropriate to take the right time to release the policy package in a bid to respond to current economic conditions. By issuing a series of economic policy packages, the government is working hard to improve economic conditions amid global uncertainty and a trade war between two super powerful countries, China and the United States. However, this positive effort must be accompanied by comprehensive implementation in the field. Cooperation is needed, especially with regions. Regional regulations may not hinder the realization of very central economic policies. In this case, good coordination is needed between the center and the region. If not, good policies will be ineffective and it will bring about distrust among investors. That was the commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. I'll start with November the 20th, 1945, the court of Nazi war criminals in Nuremberg. 20 German Nazi leaders were tried in Nuremberg, Germany on charges of war crimes. 4 judges were appointed in this international military court. Violations include waging a war of aggression, violating the rules of war, and crimes against humanity. 3 main wartime powers, the United States, the Soviet Union, and Britain, sat in court, and France was also invited. As defendants were Hermann Göring, Nazi Air Force commander, Admiral Karl Dönitz, who became president of Germany after Hitler's death, Albert Speer, Hitler's close friend, while Martin Bormann, his successor as Nazi Party secretary, were tried in absentia. The trial lasted until October 1, 1946. 11 Nazi leaders were sentenced to death by hanging. Martin Bormann was also sentenced to death in his absence. 3 of the defendants, including Hess, were sentenced to life, and 4 others were sentenced to prison terms of between 10 to 20 years. I'll switch to November the 20th, 1946, Igusti Ngurah Rai passes away. Indonesian military colonel Igusti Ngurah Rai is an Indonesian hero from Badung Regency, Bali. He died in Marga, Tabanan, Bali on November the 20th, 1946. Ngurah Rai had an army called Ciung Wanara carrying out the final battle known as Puputan Margarana. Puputan in Balinese language means all out, while Margarana means battle in the Marga. Marga is a village capital of sub-district in the remote Tabanan Regency in Bali. The Indonesian government awarded Bintang Mahaputra Award and promotion to Brigadier General posthumously and named an airport in Bali, Ngurah Rai Airport, in his honor. I'll conclude with November the 20th, 1954, Universal Children's Day was stated. Universal Children's Day was launched in England on November the 20th, 1954. The UK encouraged all countries to promote the welfare of children in the world. On this basis, the United Nations declared children's rights on November the 20th, 1959. Then, officially, Universal Children's Day was established by the United Nations, or UNICEF, on November the 20th. The day was taken in accordance with the birth date of the 1989 Convention on the Rights of the Child. The day is not to celebrate children only, but to provide awareness to children around the world who have been exposed to violence in various forms, ranging from exploitation to discrimination. Well, that was Today in History of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to My Indonesia. For today entitled, Pancasila Ideology Must Be Applied in Campus. Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education Muhammad Nasir has issued Minister Regulation No. 55/2018 concerning the development of national ideology in student activities in the campus environment. Later, each campus is obliged to establish a National Ideology Guard Student Activity Unit. This unit will bring back the extra Pancasila-based organization in campus to help strengthen effort to prevent radicalism in campus. The unit will also be a forum for student organizations to contest in strengthening the fading national ideology in the campus environment with the spread of radicalism. As quoted by suarapembaruan.com, Director of Communication and Information of the State Intelligence Agency, Wawan Purwanto, said in Jakarta that, however, the ideology of the Pancasila must be instilled both in campuses and in schools. Indonesian people must be aware that the post-reform Pancasila has been absent in the realm of educational material. He perceived that if Pancasila in campus is not strengthened, of course it will be dangerous and eventually foreign ideology will enter, and it is also tending to be violent, radical, and even will be attacking and undermining the government. In addition, Wawan remarked that so far, President Joko Widodo has launched Pancasila education in both schools and universities. According to Wawan Purwanto, this is a revitalization effort so that finally, all elements of this educated society can again understand how the life of the nation and state based on the Pancasila. He added that by deepening Pancasila in campus, the Indonesian nation again carves out the noble values of the Indonesian people, which were indeed born from the roots that had been initiated by the founding fathers of Indonesia. Wawan Purwanto also emphasized that with the existence of the National Ideology Guard Student Activity Unit, students are free from and able to prevent the radicalism in campus. Being sufficient with understanding of Pancasila ideology, students will directly or indirectly be able to fortify themselves. That's My Indonesia.
Listeners, here is the news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has recommended formal education of oil palm and coffee at Indonesian universities. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, through Board of Analyzing and Developing Policy, held regular course of palm oil 2018 on November 19 to 26, 2018 in Bogor, West Java, and Jambi. North Sumatra Indonesian Fishermen Association, or HNSI, urge the government to decide the border or establish border markers between Indonesia and Malaysia to prevent border incursions by Indonesian fishermen and repeated arrests by Malaysian authorities. Indonesia, a member of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, is superior in terms of the development of vaccine technology. Coordinating Minister for Economy Darmin Nasution denies allegation that the government is allowing foreign investment to operate in areas appropriated for micro, small, and medium-scale enterprises, or SMEs, and cooperatives. Minister of Manpower M. Hanif Dakhiri stated that ineffective dual investment must be avoided in creating graduates to become skilled labor. Merak Port in the western tip of Java and Bakauheni Harbor in the eastern edge of Sumatra are the busiest ferry harbors that connect the two Indonesian major islands. That's the news in brief.
Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present you information about Taphut tradition, stay tuned. On last 28th of October, hundreds of people from seven villages in East Manggarai Regency flocked Muara Limbulea, Nangarawa, Parno, Bilahi. They flocked the place to hold a tradition called Kebu, the local tradition of Lowa ethnic. The tradition is started by reaping corn seeds in Pinggir Limbum Pubulea and Pumbe Amu or Pond. The corn seeds ripped are the ones that have been milled. The corn seeds are ripped by the heir of the Lowa ethnic. He is the one who fully controls the procession during the Kebu tradition. He must also come from a family who only has one child, as the tradition cannot be held by descendants who have siblings in their family. Listener, when the heir reaps the milled corn, he recites a kind of incantation in the language, namely Rongga language. The incantation says that Rengo Ika Lereliang, Oro Laumbahu Oro Lau. It means that fish and various creatures are to get out from their sanctuary. The incantation is used to ask for God's blessing, so that people can obtain abundant fish and other creatures easily from the pond. After reciting the incantation, the heir of the tradition throws Nala, a special fishing net used only for local tradition. The hare who throws the fishing net must be the first and only child in his family. The ndala is made from neither nylon nor plastic but thread. The fishing net is an environmentally friendly heritage. After the hare throws the net, people get into the pond to catch fish and other creatures. Unfortunately, pregnant women cannot participate in this ritual as they will get nothing. People are only allowed to catch fish and other creatures until afternoon. Before the Kebu tradition is held, there are a number of indigenous rituals held earlier. For example, the first ritual is called Baru Gendrang in Lowa ethnic. The next ritual is carried out in Watu Norung, or servings for God are placed on this round stone. The stone is located under the tamarind tree called Ponange near to the Nangaranga coast. The Ponange tree has been selected in Loa's ancestors in a bid to perform rituals before they get into the estuary or the Mbupulea and Ama Pond. The indigenous people of Loa give serving dedicated to their ancestors and the universe such as betel, limestone paste, pinang tree, ketupat jagung or rice cake made from corn, chicken and milk corn. Afterwards, the first hare of Lowa ethnic embeds a wood from a tree branch surrounding the stone. The ketupat jagung is hung on the wood. As this ritual finishes, the chief of the tribe recites incantation to ask for God's blessing and permission so that the Kebu ritual can be accepted. Music. Listener, legend says, the fish living in the pond used to be chickens. Thus, people present them the milk corn. The mystic legend is based on the explanation of Loa's ancestors in Nangarawa. The tradition is maintained by local people and it is held once in 5 years. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder about Kebu tradition. See you on our next edition in Indonesian Wonder. Bye for now.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, a lesson on Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in Indonesian. This program is a collaboration of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development and Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is film drama atau film drama. Or in English, it means comedy films or drama films. Next, I will give an example for a conversation on film drama atau film drama, or comedy films or drama films. Tony invited Endah to watch a film. They are already in the cinema. They were discussing the film they were going to watch. Tony, kamu lebih suka film komedi atau film drama? Endah, aku lebih suka film drama daripada film komedi. Tony, kalau begitu, kamu lebih suka drama keluarga atau drama percintaan? Endah, keduanya. After listening to the conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, namely film drama atau film drama. Which means comedy films or drama films. I will say the words two times and you can repeat after me. Lebih suka. Lebih suka. Which means prefer. Daripada. Daripada. Which means rather than. Di bioskop. Di bioskop. Which means the cinema. Movies. Di rumah. Di rumah. Which means at home. Keduanya. Keduanya. Which means both. Dua-duanya. Dua-duanya, which means both. Kedua film itu. Kedua film itu, which means both films. Kamu lebih suka film komedi atau film drama? Kamu lebih suka film komedi atau film drama? Which means, do you prefer comedy or drama films? Aku lebih suka film drama daripada film komedi. Aku lebih suka film drama daripada film komedi. Which means, I prefer drama to comedy. Kalau begitu, kamu lebih suka drama keluarga atau drama percintaan? Kalau begitu, kamu lebih suka drama keluarga atau drama percintaan? Which means, if so, do you prefer family drama or romance drama? In the conversation, you heard Tony asking Joko, kamu lebih suka film komedi atau film drama? Kamu lebih suka film komedi atau film drama? Which means, do you prefer comedy or drama films? And Endah replied, aku lebih suka film drama daripada film komedi. Aku lebih suka film drama daripada film komedi. Which means, I prefer drama films to comedy. To express preference to something else, you can use the expression for more like lebih suka daripada. Lebih suka daripada. Which means, prefer to. Like you heard in the conversation. Other uses in context can be heard in the following conversation. Kamu lebih suka menonton film di bioskop atau di rumah? Kamu lebih suka menonton film di bioskop atau di rumah? Which means, Do you prefer to watch movies in theaters or at home? Aku lebih suka menonton di bioskop daripada di rumah. Aku lebih suka menonton di bioskop daripada di rumah. Which means, I prefer to watch in theaters than at home. Next, Wenenda was asked about the type of drama film she preferred. Endah answered, keduanya. Keduanya. Which means both. In everyday conversation, to answer that you like both, you can say keduanya. Keduanya. Which means both. Or dua-duanya. Dua-duanya, which also means both. In complete sentences, you can say, saya suka keduanya. Saya suka keduanya, which means I like both. Or, saya suka dua-duanya. Saya suka dua-duanya, which also mean I like both. You can also say I like both films. Saya suka kedua film itu. Saya suka kedua film itu. Which means I like both the films. Before ending, let's speak Indonesian today. For more details, let's listen to the example of the conversation once more. That was today's edition, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know Indonesian better. We meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai jumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Music Corner, a segment which presents information about Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present you information about Indonesian Mele songs. To start our segment for today, let's listen to a song by Soehardi entitled Joget Anak Tiung. The song tells about an advice to be merry by dancing and singing. Enjoy the song.
Bersama beri yang hati, janganlah tuan duduk termenung. Mari bersama beri yang hati, tepuk-tepuklah tangan sambil menari, hilangkan sedih di dalam hati. Tepuk-tepuklah tangan, mari menari, kita gembira menghibur hati. Yang lalu, mari menyanyi bersama. sendiri di rantau orang. Tepuk-tepuklah tangan sambil menari, hilangkan sedih di dalam hati. Tepuk-tepuklah tangan, mari menari, kita gembira menghibur hati.
You've just listened to a Melis song entitled Joget Anak Tiung. The song consists of some poems which are made up of preambles and contents. The preambles mostly narrate about Tiung bird, while the contents mostly advise people to sing and dance so that they will not be devastated. The lyrics are mostly repetitive. In line with the lyrics, the song has fast tempo and it is a great song to accompany us dancing. Next, let's listen to another Melis song entitled Ma Inang Kampung by M. Daus Kilau. The song tells about advices on how to live our life. Enjoy the song and have a great day.
Bang bintang merajuk, bulan mengambang, bintang merajuk. Kemana awan membawa diri? Kemana awan membawa diri? Hati menangis, di luar gelap hati menangis. Seorang tidak yang ambil tahu, seorang tidak yang ambil tahu. Sebab hujan tak jadi, apakah sebab hujan tak jadi? bagaikan ombak di lambung pasir, bagaikan ombak di lambung pasir. Bilakah ia akan sudahnya? Bilakah dia akan sudahnya?
Listener, you have just listened to Mainang Kampung. The song also consists of some poems. The song itself has medium tempo and it is accompanied by the Rio Malay Orchestra. To wrap up our segment of Music Corner, or to end today's segment of Music Corner, let's listen to a song entitled Hati Merana by Yan Junet. Composed by Yan Junet, the song tells about a person who betrays her lover, and her lover feels despondent because of his betrayal. The lyrics consist of some poems. The lyrics advise people to be careful in choosing their partners so that they will not regret their decision. Although the song talks about devastation, the music has medium tempo and it is a catchy song to dance. That was Music Corner, listener. We hope our songs can improve your insight about Indonesian Malay songs. See you next time, and bye for now.
Selasi tidak berbunga, enggannya kumbang untuk menyapa.
Sayangku kasih tidak setia, badan merana kini jadinya. Sayangku kasih tidak setia, badan merana kini jadinya.
Di sana sini bunga pun kembang, senanglah kumbang tinggal memilih.
Putuslah sudah kasih dan sayang, jangan diharap dia kembali. Putuslah sudah kasih dan sayang, jangan diharap dia kembali.
Ukir, ukir, ukirlah si kayu jati, jadikan sebuah jambangan. Pikir-pikir, pikir sebelum terjadi, jangan menyesal kemudian.
Voice of Indonesia. Today's sound.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.